Hot
1027. Hot Business is brought to you by Standard Bank, a strategic collaborator at Enlit Africa Conference, shaping sustainable infrastructure with bespoke funding solutions across energy, water, and waste value chains.
Hot 1027.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. It's just after 6 o'clock, and for the next hour, financial information that helps you make sense of our economy and build your wealth. I'm Jeremy Maggs. First, the day in a snapshot. The JSE down today after a record run yesterday. The Rand above 18 to the dollar. Bullion also on the back foot, but still above $3,300 an ounce. Coming up on the program, Cyril Ramaphosa steps into the Oval Office spotlight, but did he hold his ground? Budget 3.0 put services and infrastructure first, but taxpayers still feel the pinch. How AI fraud is killing your business. A concept called restorative farming, and it's linked to the price of milk. And Pick and Pay renews the contract of Chief Executive Officer Sean Summers as the big turnaround continues. That's all to come. Let's start the show.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
In what could prove to be one of the more diplomatically delicate engagements of the year, President Ramaphosa has met face-to-face with Donald Trump in Washington. The aim of this meeting, according to my guest, was threefold: to avoid a so-called Zelensky moment of being politically steamrolled, also for South Africa to stand its ground on critical issues like land reform and race relations, and crucially push back diplomatically but firmly against what many see as outright lies from Donald Trump, particularly his claims of a white genocide in South Africa. There's no doubt it was a high wire act of resolve and reset, with Ramaphosa attempting to manage both the bilateral fallout and domestic political theater playing out at home. Let's pull all of that together. I'm in conversation with Dr. T.K. Puer, who's a senior lecturer at the Wits School of Governance. T.K., a very warm welcome. So 24 hours on, was this a diplomatic success or a missed opportunity?
No. Afternoon. Look, I think it falls in a bit of both, in the sense that it wasn't a total disaster, which is, I think, the key thing people didn't want. But it also did give maybe South Africans and the international community a bit of insight into finally trying to clear, well, as much as you can, clear up the, how do I put it, the fracas President Trump has created around the narratives that do not exist. So I'd probably put it as it was something bearable, but at times it was like, oh my word, where is this going?
These constant assertions from President Trump about the white genocide in South Africa, and widely rejected and disputed, but you'll have to agree with me that claims like this do have an impact on our international image and even internal social cohesion. It is a very disturbing message.
Yes, it's actually quite, it's a national security issue, because once you get this label from a country which is the size of America, look, I think the audience would know Americans and most people, South Africa is but one of many countries on the continent, if not the world. So if you don't have the ability to clear it up, it creates its own problems. But I think that's why yesterday was so important. While I don't think the president fully rammed home the issue, but on the key issues in terms of what President Trump sounded like afterwards, because I mean, the key takeaway for me on the genocide issue is even he said, you know what, I'm not yet also sold on whether it is or it isn't. So if I was the South African government, the key thing is spin that word around the world, because like you're saying, international investors have to know that, listen, this is probably one of President Trump's side projects. It's not something to be taken that seriously. But more importantly, it's an issue of how then do we reform our own internal issues, such that the issues that were mentioned, which are correct, that South Africa's got a high crime rate, those types of issues are addressed very quickly.
So we started this messaging at the apex in the Oval Office, and in that room were billionaires and golfers. Do you think in any way we might have started to move the needle then?
I think the key two people for me in that room that moved the needle outside of President Ramaphosa is Mr. Johann Rupert. He basically and firmly kind of shut down a lot of the misconceptions which exist around South Africa, and also the chairperson of the COSATU, Ms. Lodzi, who really almost just put into perspective to say, listen, this is a whole of problem of South Africa, Mr. Trump, that type of issue. So I think we did kind of move the needle, especially when Mr. Rupert, look, firmly, and also I think with the invite of President Ramaphosa, kind of really put things back into, I can say he put the trains back on the track. But the key issue is how do you follow this up? Because the one thing we do know about President Trump is yesterday he might have said Yeah, you know what? I'm not too sure, but tomorrow, depending on who's in his ear, this can change very quickly.
All right, so we've maybe put the train back on the track, or at least we've started, but the challenge, of course, is keeping the train on the track. So moving forward then, TK, from a governance perspective, critical that the South African government continue to address and counteract misinformation that has been propagated not only from the president himself, but other international influential figures and even the media in many respects.
Yes, and sometimes the best way to actually do this is to look like you're working as a country. I think we've almost close to 6, if not more, months of us having this government, which is a coalition. But you do need to see wins as what makes people think otherwise. And if we do not get wins, if we don't start to see infrastructure come to the table, if we don't start to see the actual issue of crime being addressed, you almost lose, not because you're wrong in the grand narrative, but simply because people can say, listen, you know, they're lying. Look at the problems that they're having. Because many of the issues with President Trump was highlighting when he stepped down to say, okay, look, he never said, I might not be right on that. But he'd point to things such as violence. So if we don't address those types of things quickly, we're going to lose, not because we're wrong, but simply because we're not making progress on key issues that the country needs. Because the world wants to see winners, and if we don't start acting and seeing winning, it makes it very hard to counter a lot of narratives.
Both the economic freedom fighters and MK really receiving a slap from many people in the room overnight. How do you think that is going to play out domestically? Already, the EFF has issued a long, wordy 3-page statement.
Well, I think it was a bit problematic, especially I think as Mr. Steenhuisen put it. One of the key rules of such an international engagements is you and I, Jerry, might have issues at home, but you don't take those issues out overseas. One of the main reasons President Trump is such a shock to the system is there's an American rule, and it's an international rule that you never speak ill of your opposition at home, because at the end of the day, you are representing them as the executive. So I think it was in bad taste that the people in the room who are South African took a shot at Mr. Julius Malema and even the MK. You might not agree with them, but at the end of the day, they are South Africans. So the hope would be that President Ramaphosa, and I think even people like Mr. Steenhuisen, do get together with Mr. Julius Malema to say, listen, yeah, we might have erred on that issue, but there's certain conversations we need to start having to say, what you're saying does have international implications. How do we look like, even if we don't agree, we don't even have to like each other, but how do we look like putting across a narrative which says, listen, we are Team South Africa and there's certain things that we're working on? Because in a way, one might argue that one of the big winners of the night might have actually been Mr. Julius Malema and even the MK, because it literally, for certain segments of South Africa, they look like, ah, you see, we've always known those guys are for us. And that's not what you want. What you want at this moment in time is to have a Team South Africa, even if we don't all agree with where the country's going.
And no doubt valuable lessons learnt last night from this meeting, particularly around the importance of strategic communication and diplomacy in advancing national interests. What do you think those lessons are?
No, the key thing is you might not be able to control the message that people like President Trump sent out, but I think where we have been woeful for the last 15 years is we're very poor at getting across, you know, the great message of South Africa. I think one of the things that came out last night is South Africans, we're not too au fait with international relations. And I think this is where entities like Brand South Africa, the presidency, do we almost need a whole of government reformulation on how do we get the good South African stories out there? Because look, yes, most every country has problems. I mean, there's a reason why there is no perfect country in the world. But I think where we have shot ourselves in the foot is we just have this inability to put the good stories of South Africa out there. Because many Americans would have, unlike other countries, would actually have a memory of South Africa. Yes, it goes back to President Nelson Mandela. But I don't think we've been able to build on this such that we can have mass tourism into the country and mass businesses coming through. So the hope for me would be, listen, we really do need to work on our communication. Yes, communicate, we've got problems, but it's problems every country has and that we're trying to sort out. And most importantly, let's try to sort these stories out.
That is commentator and writer Dr. TK Puer from the Wits School of Governance. TK, thank you very much.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.